fans. But like I said, I am not giving up airtime to talk Colin Kaepernick when I have the play-by-play voice of Nebraska Cornhuskers, Greg Sharp, who's taken out the time to be on our show. Greg, how are you?
Wade, I'm great. It was a long off season for Husker fans. They're really anxious to get another year underway, and it starts here in just 5 days. Can't wait.
Okay, so set the stage for me. What's the feeling of the Husker faithful and the Husker nation? What are their expectations going into this year?
I think the term cautiously optimistic is probably the term. I think everybody feels a little gun-shy after last year where you felt like it was, an 8-9 win team for sure, and then they only go 5-7. But a good chunk of that team is back. The feeling of comfort is there with year two for new coaching staff. They know the players better. The players know them better. So I think the feeling is that was a bit of a mirage last year, and anxious now to try to prove that was the case starting Saturday night against Fresno State.
I remember when we talked with you a year ago at this time that Nebraska already had a lot of injuries they were dealing with before they even got into the season, and then a ton of injuries during the year as well. How are some of those players that are returning from injury, how are they faring, and how is Nebraska in regards to the injury bug chart? How are they doing this year?
Well, it's okay. I think, most teams in the country get to the end of fall camp and you've had a couple guys lost for the year. For Nebraska, it's really only been one. And that was Gerald Foster, an offensive lineman who was going to be their starting left guard, probably their best run blocker. And then his immediate backup was a kid by the name of Corey Whitaker, who needed a knee scope, but he could be back as soon as even late this week. So from that standpoint, not bad. Now, of course, Nebraska had to deal with a real tragic event at the end of July when their punter, Sam Fultz, was killed in a car accident while he was up at a kicking camp in Wisconsin. And so Nebraska is going to have to put into service as a true freshman punter and loses an all-conference kicker. So that was a huge blow, both to the team and mentally for the team, to try to put that behind them. So there's certainly been some hiccups for this team in late summer and during fall camp, but I think that's probably pretty normal for most schools around the country to lose a player or two to injury before the start of a season.
Tommy Armstrong Jr. is the quarterback. He is a senior. He's one of those guys that it seems like he's been at Nebraska for 8 years. And now he is a senior. Talk about his development. And I saw him play last year, and there's times where he'd made just tremendous throws. And there's the times where, I don't know if he reverted back to bad mechanics or thrown off his back foot a lot. I think the word I keep hearing from my Husker friends is that he's just not consistent enough.
Well, I think that's part of the Tommy Armstrong is a dual-threat quarterback, very good runner. And Mike Riley and his staff have really never employed that type of athlete at that position. They have gone more with a pro-style quarterback. Mike Riley has even said on several occasions that at Oregon State, if their quarterback scrambled for a first down, they would stop the game and hand him the game ball because it just never happened. Up there, where Tommy's an outstanding runner, and I think as the season wore on, the coaches trusted him more to run. They implemented a few more schemes and plays just to take advantage of his running ability. And that goes back to that comfort comment that I made earlier, that I think the coaches have a better understanding of what he can and can't do, and they're going to have to manage him a little bit more. I want this staff to allow Tommy to run 8 to 10 times a game, where I think a year ago, they felt like if they let him run 4 or 5 times that they were really being liberal with the game plan. So my hope is they trust him to run it more. I think he's better at that. It makes the defense more honest, and then it opens up those passing lanes even more for him to utilize. And so we'll see. If those two things come together, I think this offense could be really, really good.
When a team struggles in football at any point in time, people tend to point the finger at the quarterback or the coach. What is the situation for Nebraska if Tommy Armstrong Jr. would get hurt or if he does not perform to expectations? What's the backup plan?
Yeah, good question. Riker Fife is the backup, and Riker was the backup a year ago, but I don't think they had a great deal of confidence in Riker a year ago. That's grown quite a bit in the last 12 months. I think that they really appreciate what he can do. He actually fits the mode more of the kind of quarterback that Mike Riley had at Oregon State, more of a drop-back passer. So I think that's going to allow them to push Tommy to run a little bit more because they have some trust in the backup that if Tommy were to get hurt when they ask him to run a little bit more, that they can win with Riker Fife as the backup. Nebraska is a little pinched for depth at that spot going into the year. You have Armstrong and Fife, both seniors who've been in the program 5 years. And then you have a true freshman in Patrick O'Brien as the number three, and that's it. Those are the only three scholarship quarterbacks Nebraska has. They had a young man by the name of A.J. Bush who opted to transfer 2 weeks ago. I think after he saw the depth chart, he decided to transfer. So Nebraska has three scholarship quarterbacks, and the last one in O'Brien, they'd love to redshirt. So they're hoping to be able to get through this season with Armstrong and Fife and redshirt O'Brien and let him develop and grow a little bit more. But, yeah, that's a position Nebraska can really ill afford too many injuries, or they'll be in some trouble.
Of course, we're talking to Greg Sharp, the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. One thing that can really help a quarterback and his coach is to have a good running game. How does Nebraska feel about their backfield?
They really have four backs that they have a lot of confidence in. Terrell Newby is back. He's a senior. He was their leading rusher a year ago, over 700 yards rushing. Divino Zigbo was a true freshman last season who played quite a bit. They love his game. He can catch it out of the backfield, a good pass blocker as well. And then Mikhail Wilbon, who is a sophomore in the program, had a really good spring. They like Mikhail. And they've added to the mix a true freshman out of St. Louis named Trey Bryant, who actually was committed to K-State for a while last fall and then flipped to Nebraska. He's opened some eyes, and he's gotten himself in the mix. So they feel like they've got really good depth at the I-back spot to try to get that running game going. And I think that's one thing. The Husker fans, I think, really would like to see this offense run the ball more than they did a year ago. I think it ended up being about a 60-40 pass-to-run ratio. I think Husker fans would really love to see that flipped and be more 60-40 run the ball. And I think there's enough quality backs in that backfield to do that for Nebraska.
Wide receiver appears to be an area of strength. I'm looking at the depth chart here. Of course, Jordan Westerkamp, senior, Alonzo Morris, senior. You've got talent the wide receiving core, it appears, if Tommy Armstrong has time to throw.
Might be the most talented receiving core in the Big Ten. It's really good. It's deep. Westerkamp has been there a long time. Riley, Alonzo Moore, Stanley Morgan had a tremendous freshman season. DeMornay Pearson-L is back after an injury-plagued sophomore campaign for Nebraska. And that's the rub about to the fans who really want Nebraska to run, is Nebraska's best playmakers on offense are probably those wide receivers. And so you need to get the ball in their hands as well. So it puts the offensive coordinator, Danny Langsdorf, into a bit of a dilemma. You have the fan base yelling to run, and yet he looks and sees those great wide receivers and says, well, I've got to get them the ball. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the interesting angle to follow Nebraska all season long, is how do they get the ball out and how much do they throw the football this year with really good quality wide receivers.
Big guys up front on the offensive line. You mentioned left guard Gerald Foster out with the injury. Overall, Nebraska with their offensive line, do they like the mix of it? I noticed a couple of freshmen on the depth chart are in the number one spot. I would think part of that's a little bit of a concern. Of course, Foster would have been one of those. But at the same time, that means that they feel pretty good about these kids with their talent and their potential to get better throughout the year.
They do, but very unproven. I mean, the left tackle, Nick Gates, started at right tackle a year ago. The center, Dylan Nutter, started at left guard a year ago. So they're both playing new positions. And then the other three starters have played very, very little college football. David Neville will be the right tackle. He's a junior, big old Canadian, but just has not played much at Nebraska. The right guard is going to be sophomore Tanner Farmer. Same thing, hasn't hardly played at all for Nebraska. And then we've already discussed that left guard spot with Foster out and Whitaker banged up. So it's a group that's very inexperienced. I think they think that they're very talented, but just have not played together. Going to have to be in that kind of show-me mold. They're going to have to show everybody that they're quality players, but I think the coaches feel like they have good talent there. It just has to go out now on game days and start to prove that.
Shifting to the defense, and we're talking Greg Sharp, the voice of Nebraska Cornhuskers today, our guest here on the Sports Ticket. I remember listening to you guys, I believe it was the Purdue game. It was a high-scoring game, and I could feel the air because it was a long year for Nebraska. Even though it ended well and you got a bowl game win, that was one of those games where one of the most disappointing losses of the year, and the defense had its hands full, plus there was lots of injuries. I certainly know about that. But this defense, Nebraska, back in its heyday, the black shirts, defense would get the job done. And over the last few years, that has not been the case. Is there going to be a defense here for Nebraska that's going to maybe earn the black shirts a little bit more here in 2016?
Sure hope so. So that Purdue loss, you talked about a disappointing loss within a season. That was one of the worst losses in the last 50 years for Nebraska. Mm. I mean, that's a Purdue program that has only won 6 football games in the last 3 years. And to have them put it on Nebraska like that, it was a dark, dark day for Husker football. And this defense has got to be better than it was a year ago. It was just very poor. Now, the challenge is facing his coaching staff is poor defense from a year ago, and they had major loss up front defensively. They had 2 young men, Malik Collins, Vincent Valentine, left a year early for the NFL. They both were drafted in the 3rd round, one with the Cowboys, one with the Patriots, so probably good decision on their part. Then they had 2 other defensive tackles that had a year of eligibility left, good players in Greg McMullen and Kevin Williams, who both opted to leave. McMullen opted to just go and enter the workforce. Kevin Williams took advantage of that 5th-year senior transfer rule and is off to Michigan State to play for the Spartans. So major hits up front. That group will be worth watching the first couple weeks. They've had a pretty good camp so far. There's not a lot of depth there, but that group will have to perform much, much better than they did a year ago, and a lot of guys who hardly played any college football. The linebacking core looks really good. It's been intact for the last couple years. Good experience there. The secondary got better, I thought, as the year went along. Love the corners, Kalu and Jones. Nate Gary's an all-conference type safety. He is going to be suspended for the first game for violation of a team rule, but he'll be back after that. So the secondary they like. They like the linebackers. The defensive line will be a huge key to watch for Nebraska throughout the year.
So Nebraska opens up at home there at Memorial Stadium. The sellout streak continues as they will host Fresno State. What do you know about Fresno State? I think back to the days when I remember they came to K-State a few times. They're a team that plays hard. They're usually a very physical team. They certainly had their years where they were very successful. What about this year's version of Fresno State?
Well, that's ancient history of the Pat Hill era of Fresno State where they really had it rolling. Mm-hmm. This is a program really struggling right now. Just won 3 games a year ago. Not a lot expected out of them this year. I think Nebraska's a 4-touchdown favorite going into this game. The highlight of the non-conference schedule for the Huskers will be week 3, mm-hmm. when Oregon comes to town. And it's not as good an Oregon team as been in the past, but that's a big game for both Nebraska and Oregon. The Huskers could really build some momentum for the conference season if they can win that game. So that's going to be a fun one to watch, and certainly a highly anticipated game. The Ducks have certainly been at the forefront of the national picture for the last couple of years, and that'll be a real challenge for Nebraska week 3. But Fresno, if this is a game in the fourth quarter, it's not been a good day for the Huskers, because this is, quite honestly, not a very good football team coming to Lincoln.
Looking at the Big 12 conference schedule, the Huskers have to go to Wisconsin, have to go to Ohio State, of course, the rivalry game with Iowa there November the 25th. When you look at the Husker schedule and the conference schedule itself, what game scares you the most from the standpoint of Nebraska? Because we know Wisconsin, Ohio State, they're very, very good. We know that Iowa was tremendous last year. But is there a game where you're looking and going, we better be leery of this team, maybe an underdog that the Huskers play?
Yeah, Indiana would mm-hmm. be that one. Indiana got to a bowl game a year ago, very high-profile offense. Kevin Wilson, the former offensive coordinator for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, is in year 5 at Indiana. They have an offense that can get it up and down the field. They've come so close the last couple of years of upsetting some of the big dogs in the Big Ten. They lost an overtime game to Michigan last year at home. They pushed Michigan State to the brink. They even were right in the game with the Buckeyes. So that's a game that's kind of under the radar that you need to be worried about. But for Nebraska, all 5 road games that they play this year are against teams that went to a bowl game last year. Northwestern's the first one. They won 10 games a year ago. Indiana went to a bowl game, high-powered offense. Wisconsin won 10 games a year ago. They're going to have a really tough schedule this year and probably will take a step back, but still a tough place to play. We all know the Buckeyes are really good and will be in the national championship hunt. And then Iowa went 12-0 in the regular season. So the road schedule is very challenging for Nebraska, and the Huskers are going to have to find a way to win some road games if they want to have a successful year and have a chance to compete for a Big Ten title.
The Huskers, the home games, Fresno State, Wyoming, Oregon, Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. And I bring that up because Nebraska has a pretty impressive streak. 347 consecutive sellouts at Memorial Stadium in Nebraska. I've read a few stories saying that perhaps that streak is in jeopardy. Is that really true, or is that somebody just trying to get people to read a story?
No, I think there was some real concern about it. Now, they have sold out all the season tickets, so I think they're going to be fine this year. But you just rattled off one of the reasons. Well, there's a couple reasons, I think, why it was in jeopardy. And one was the schedule you rattled off. That's a bad home schedule.
Yes.
There's not a really good, outside of Oregon, There isn't a very good team coming to Lincoln. I mean, Minnesota has a chance, I think, to be okay, but it's still Minnesota. Maryland's new to the Big Ten. Nobody really knows much about them. Illinois and Purdue have been the basement teams in this conference for years. It's just not a very good, attractive home schedule. And I think the fans are coming off a 5-7 regular season last year, probably looked at that and said, wow, I could maybe just go online and try to find some tickets to the Oregon game and the rest of it. I don't know that I really care to see. It's a bad, bad home schedule. Next year's much, much better. But, boy, thank goodness Oregon's on there early, or it would just be a schedule you'd hold your nose and look at. And, you know, a lot of Nebraska fans aren't real happy with the Big Ten, the way they've scheduled this out. It seems like every other year Nebraska looks at a conference slate, 4 or 5 home games in the conference that are not very good. And then the next year it's kind of loaded up. And like next year, Ohio State comes to Lincoln, Wisconsin comes to Lincoln, Iowa comes to Lincoln, Northwestern comes to Lincoln. So it's really good next year. But that didn't make selling tickets this year very easy. But Nebraska, I think, is going to be able to fight their way and keep that streak alive for another year.
So every year when we have you on the show before the season doing college football preview week here on the Sports Ticket, we ask you the great question that most people will ask you, and that is to look at your crystal ball and predict how you think the Huskers will fare this year. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. What would be a record that you think Husker fans would get excited about? And then realistically, what do you think this team can put up win-wise?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm really gun-shy because I was so far off last year, and I think everybody was, with the way that season spiraled out of control for Nebraska. A year, I think if Nebraska got to 9 wins, 9 or more, I think the fan base would be very pleased, would show good progress in year 2 from Mike Riley. I think it's going to be hard to get to 9 because of those 5 really difficult road games for this team to fight their way through. I think I was in the 8-4 range last year. As I said, I was way off. I'll go right back to that 8-4 range again this year, and I think that would be good progress in year 2 for Mike Riley.
Nebraska volleyball, let's switch gears here. Nebraska is the defending champion in volleyball, and I know a lot of people get caught up in football, and I lived in Nebraska for a few years, and I know as well as anybody that the state of Nebraska, their professional franchise is Nebraska football. I have good friends up there that when Nebraska football isn't good like it was last year when it was 6-7 after the bowl win, that it's just not the same. It just doesn't feel right. But Nebraska volleyball has been tremendously successful. Well, they won the national championship last year. Of course, they beat Texas, which I'm sure felt pretty sweet for Nebraska fans. The University of Kansas made it to the Final Four in volleyball last year as well. What's the talk up there for the volleyball team, and can they defend their title?
Well, they've gotten off to a great start. They're preseason number 1. They have almost that entire team back that won it all a year ago. And what an opening weekend they just had. They went and competed in the Vert Challenge up in Oregon, where they played number 10 Florida, 1-4 sets, and then they had a rematch with Texas on Saturday. Texas was ranked number 2, and the Huskers swept them. So it's a tremendous start for John Cook's volleyball squad. Volleyball is a huge sport at the prep level up in the state of Nebraska. A lot of girls really grow up and dream of trying to play volleyball for the Huskers. They have about half their roster is from the state of Nebraska. So it's a huge sport. They're expected to be great again and off to a good start when you sweep Texas in the opening weekend. It's pretty hard to top that. So it should be another great year for the Huskers on the volleyball court.
And then the men's basketball team, the story coming out yesterday is that Andrew White, who formerly played at the University of Kansas, transferred to Nebraska. He's a college graduate, so he's eligible to contribute immediately to a team that he's transferring to, and he chose the Syracuse Orange with Jim Boeheim. Andrew White, what did he bring to the table in Nebraska last year, and what's the prognosis for Nebraska men's basketball in 2016-17?
Well, very disappointed and very disappointing in Andrew White's decision to leave the program. You know, when he transferred from Kansas to Nebraska, he had to sit out a year. He played, so his first year to play for Nebraska was last year, and he was very good. He averaged 16 points a game. I think he was second team all-conference. He, along with Siobhan Shields, who's the son of Will Shields, a former Husker great and longtime pro of the Kansas City Chiefs, those two made a pretty good 1-2 tandem. Siobhan graduated. And so it was going to be Andrew White's team. He was going to be the focal point of the offense, and then he opted in late spring, in June. In fact, I was walking into a College World Series game in Omaha when I got word that Andrew had announced he was leaving. So it was a really, really tough blow to the Nebraska basketball program to lose a player like that in late June. It's really hard to replace somebody like that. And that really has dampened the hopes for the Huskers. I think that they felt like they would have a type of team that could compete for an NCAA spot with Andrew White. Obviously, that's not going to be the case now, and it could be a tough winter for Nebraska. It's just it's put head coach Tim Miles in a really difficult spot, losing a player of Andrew's caliber so late in the process, where it's just almost impossible to go find somebody to take his spot on the roster. So, if you'd asked me this question 3 months ago, I would have been pretty encouraged. Honestly, it's going to be difficult now without the leading returning scorer to come back for his senior year.
Did Andrew say or give any reasons why he would leave Nebraska and go to Syracuse?
Well, statements from the family indicated that they felt like they needed more exposure and getting to some other program that maybe had a chance, I think, maybe to make a deeper run into the March Madness. It's perfectly within your right to do that when you've graduated, and that's the way the system's set up. But, boy, you see someone who's transferred out of Kansas, a really good program, to get more playing time, which he got at Nebraska, and now he opts to go somewhere else. It's disappointing. You know, you hate to look into the eyes of a young man and talk about commitment and those type of things, but you question it a little bit there when you've transferred twice now in a 5-year college career.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll finish with a couple of questions, Greg. We appreciate your time here as we get ready for the season opener, Nebraska and Fresno State, this Saturday night at Memorial Stadium. The first one is going to be a serious one. The other one's our off-the-wall question. The first one's very serious because it is something that everybody seems to be talking about today. And everybody has an opinion, and nobody's opinion is wrong or right, I like to say. You might not agree with the opinion, but that doesn't mean that's automatically wrong or right. Your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick and what he did over the weekend? Of course, it wasn't the first preseason game that he did not stand for the national anthem, but it was the first one that people noticed across the country. Just your thoughts in general, your opinion of that situation.
Well, it's something I would never consider doing,
yeah.
But we live in a country where it's your right to do that, I guess. So, I mean, you look back through history, athletes have certainly bucked the trend. Through Muhammad Ali, who refused to go to a draft board and go into the Army when he was draft eligible in the 60s, to the two sprinters at the 68 Olympic Games who raised their fists in the air to support Black Power and the segregation movement going on in America. Athletes have used this platform before, and part of our country is the freedom of speech and freedom of what you want to do. So I guess he has the right to do that. I don't agree with him doing this, but he certainly has his own right to do that. You're right. It certainly made waves across the country over the last couple of days on talk radio and on ESPN. It's been the lead story for about 24 hours now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, time for our off-the-wall question, Greg. What movie could you sit down and watch over and over and over? We could put it on a loop and you'd say, oh man, I know I just watched this, but you're not traumatized, that'd be the wrong term, but you'd just be enamored with, I gotta watch this again, I know how it ends. What movie could you watch over and over on a reel?
Well, it comes to mind really quick, or just about any Will Ferrell movie. If Talladega Nights popped up right now, I'd probably sit down and watch it. Or a Semi-Pro popped up, I'd probably sit down and watch it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know I would about the one about the figure skating. I wasn't as big a fan of that. or the Anchorman movies. I mean, Will Ferrell just kind of, anytime I'm skipping through the channels and all of a sudden a Will Ferrell movie pops up, I generally stop on it for about 10 minutes and keep watching. So there you go, Will Ferrell.
You're not a fan of the Anchorman movies?
No, I am.
Oh, you
Anchorman
are? Okay.
Too, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said you weren't as big a fan of that one.
Nope.
So. Oh, okay.
No, the figure skating one.
The Blades of Glory, right?
Was that? Yeah, the Blades of Glory. Nah, that wasn't quite my cup of tea, but pretty much about anything else with Will, I'd lock on to.
Absolutely. Well, I would guess you
even
don't...
Old School.
Oh, that's a good one. I loved Old School. That was a great movie. Yeah, I'm going to go watch it now. Now you brought that up. That was a great, great movie. I loved it. Anything that he's in is going to at least get you to laugh, and if you can laugh, you're going to be you'll be a healthier person, right?
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it. Well, you're probably not going to have as much time to watch movies as you did in the offseason now that you're into football. And I know you can't wait to get it started on Saturday night when Nebraska hosts Fresno State. We always appreciate the time talking with you, Greg. Have a great call this season, and perhaps we'll be talking with you later during the football campaign.
Sounds good, guys. Always enjoy it.
Take care. That's Greg Sharp, the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs.